All right, let's do a little bit of review tonight. Got your thinking caps on? You're not even talking, let alone thinking, right? We talked first week about Jonathan being what kind of a man? Who said that? Somebody said it. Good, a faithful man. Excellent. Now, Jonathan is a faithful man. All right, we talked about what made him a faithful man was, there were several things about him. Number one, he was what in his God? Confident in his God. Excellent. And then Jonathan blanked himself to God's will. Committed himself to God's will. And that was a little bit unusual because God's will was that David be king and not Jonathan, though Jonathan was rightful heir, if you would. And then number three, Jonathan calls David to what on his God? Concentrate on his God. We're going to get to a little bit more of that story as we look at friends tonight. And then Jonathan, as a faithful man, he was blank and blank in a losing cause. Constant and cooperative. Good. Good, good. Constant and cooperative in a losing cause. Though he knew his dad was wrong, though he knew his dad had gone to see a witch to find out what was going to happen, Jonathan stayed faithful to his dad, and it cost him his life. And he never got to see that commitment that he made to David. Well, we're going to serve together. I'm going to be second in command. Jonathan did not get to do that. And then week two, last week, we talked about Jonathan being what kind of a man? Yes, Nathan? A fearless man. All right, and where was the battle that we looked at? What, do you remember the name of the battle? Not you yet, Nathan. Anybody? What's that? Micmash. The battle at Micmash. And what was unusual about this battle? Anybody know? Rebecca? Okay, there were only two of them. That was Jonathan, his armor bearer. There was another unusual thing about the battle at the beginning.
Jonathan had the sword,
and who else? His dad, and that's it. Nobody else had a sword to start with until the Philistines started killing each other, and then they had plenty of swords, right? And Jonathan was an incredible man of faith because he just jumped out there and went to fight, and I love it. It's kind of get the idea that Jonathan said, if they do this, we're going to whoop them, and if they do that, we're going to whoop them. But either way, we're going to whoop them. That's my interpretation of it. He was a responsible leader of men. What happened to the nation of Israel as Jonathan began to get victory? Anybody? Okay, Philistines did that. What did the Israelites do? Okay, so they started coming out of their caves and the rocks they were hiding in and started following Jonathan and so forth. And what a wonderful blessing and a great inspiration. What unusual thing happened at the end of the battle that almost was a tragedy? Somebody who hadn't answered yet. Isaac. Okay, so he's going to kill Jonathan for eating. What was wrong with that? Okay, and what had Saul said to the men? Okay. Do you remember the command that Saul gave? Somebody? Yes, ma'am.
No one can eat.
Okay, no one can eat. Which is kind of a crazy command when you're fighting a battle, isn't it? I mean, you need strength. You need meat in there. And so wonderful truths from Jonathan's life. Okay, tonight we're going to look at Jonathan, a friend to a man. And let's look at 1 Samuel chapter number 18. Wow, they just turned the lights on. They want to blind me tonight. Actually, they know that I'm about half blind, and so I can't see my Bible unless somebody turns some lights on, right? 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I want us to see, first off tonight, the main thought, and that's this. You must choose friends who have a heart for God. You know, it's easy for us to concentrate on telling boys and girls, and we have some of them in this room today, and it's easy for us to concentrate on telling teenagers, hey, the friends you choose are really important. Choose godly friends because they're going to fashion the direction you go. And that's absolutely true. But you know, I've seen some adults who chose wrong friends and got in trouble. Brother Eric could probably tell us a lot of stories about guys in jail who were with the wrong crowd. And of course, none of them are guilty. It was always their friend's fault, right, that happened. For us adults, children, and teenagers, the friends we choose make a huge difference. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A lot of times people think that in the negative light, but that's positive and negative. Jonathan and David were dear friends. Though the Bible doesn't say specifically this thought, I believe that David would not have been the man that he turned out to be, nor do I believe from a human standpoint he would have survived as long as he did if it had not been in the help of Jonathan. The Bible tells us that Jonathan greatly encouraged David. We're going to look at some of those things tonight about what really makes a good friend. You know, it's easy for us to say, well, I tell you what, if I'm going to choose a friend, I'm going to choose somebody who's popular. But popular friends don't always make the best friends. I know I'm going to choose a rich friend. Anybody have any rich friends? You're like, yeah, I know that's a good friend to have, you know. Those don't always make great friends. Do you know it's been rare in my years as a youth pastor and now pastor, it's been rare for people to come in. It's happened, but it's been rare for people to come in and say, Pastor, I'm really praying that God gives me a godly friend. I'm praying that God will give me someone that'll challenge me, that'll confront me when I'm wrong, that'll help me hold accountable to my time in the Word of God. That'll, you know, I've rarely heard that. We need friends that way, and that's what Jonathan and David were to each other. So let's look at a couple of things. First off, I'd like to look at the point of friendship. And there's a lot we could say from the Bible, but I want to specifically look at the life of David and Jonathan, the point of friendship. Number one, friendship must be based on a fulfillment of God's will. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 23, and we're going to kind of be all over this story tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse 16. And Jonathan Saul's son arose and went to David into the wood. We've referenced this part of the story a couple of times. Saul's looking everywhere for David and can't find him. Jonathan gets ready to go find him, walks right to him, which is great. I love that. Went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan didn't go there and give him all kinds of, you know, warm and fuzzy stories and all this kind of stuff. He strengthened David's hand in God. What a wonderful friend. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Friendship must be based on a fulfillment of God's word. It would have been easy for Jonathan to say, hey, look, I'm supposed to be king. My dad's current king. I'm firstborn. I'm going to be king. And David, you're a rival to me. We're supposed to be enemies. But Jonathan understood this is God's will. And if it's God's will, then I'm okay with that. And our friendship is going to be built on the fact that we want to do God's will. Tremendous, tremendous thought. And then second thing is that friendship must draw our attention to God. Friendship must draw our attention to God. Again, verse 16. And he strengthened his hand in God. David's living in the woods, running for his life. There's a lot that Jonathan could have strengthened his hand in. He could have brought him some camping equipment. You know? He could have brought him some food. Maybe he could have brought him some defense mechanisms or some camouflage. And I know I'm talking modern day. I'm just trying to give you some. There's a lot that David, quote unquote, needed for his survival. But when Jonathan arrived, he strengthened his hand in God, the most important thing that David needed. And Jonathan and David's friendship was built on their personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God. And I know the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't there, but the same principle is there. And our friendship must be built on the same thing. So the point of friendship is that our friends be based on a fulfillment of God's word, of God's will, and that it draws us back to God. Any friend, from boys and girls in this room to teenagers to adults, any friend who points you away from God is not a good friend. I don't care who they are. They may have been your friend for 40 years. If they don't point you to God, they're not a good friend. We'll also look second, if you will, the prideless friendship. You know, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. A lot of friendships are destroyed because people are filled with pride. We see from our story here, and we're going to see in another couple of places, there was no pride in David and Jonathan's friendship. Jonathan didn't demand his position. Jonathan didn't say, hey, David, you're hiding. You're an outcast. You're an outlaw. No, Jonathan knew he was in God's will. Well, I should be king, David. What are you doing trying to take my position? None of that happened. Friendship must be devoid of rivalry. There should be no rivalries in friendships. Look at a couple of passages of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse 4. The Bible says, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now, all of that is not a huge deal to us. I mean, if someone gave you their coat and, you know, some of those kind of things, it would be okay, but it wouldn't be that significant. For Jonathan, all these items represented who Jonathan was in the kingdom. His robe represented that he was second in command of the kingdom. His armament represented that he was a military leader in the kingdom. And remember, again, he was second in command under his father. All of that he willingly gave up to David. And what has just happened in the previous chapter? You can talk to me tonight. It's okay. We're in 1 Samuel 18. What just happened in 1 Samuel 17? David and Goliath. That's right. At the end of this chapter, we have some rivalry already taking place. By the time we get deep into chapter 18, boy, people are really giving the praise to Saul. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jonathan is so much the opposite of his daddy. When David gets the victory and makes it very clear that God gave him the victory, Saul's mad because people didn't ascribe to him glory. Instead, they were giving it to David. Do you know what Jonathan said? Man, I got a friend who could depend upon God. I mean, did you see him beat this giant? I mean, what did he say to him? He said, I come to you in the name of the God of Israel whom you have defied. And today I'm going to feed you to the birds, pal, because you've defied my God. And that's exactly what happened. David causes, what happens to the entire nation of Israel, the army that's there, after David defeats Goliath? What happens? They chase the Philistine. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jonathan and David knew how to get a fight on if they had to do it by themselves. There was no rivalry here. Look at chapter 20 and verse 30. Chapter 20 and verse 30. Jonathan is now appealing to his father. Daddy, what has David really done to you? The answer to that question was no. Nothing. There was nothing he's really done. By the way, anytime you get instantly angry about something, it's probably because you know you're wrong. Study that in the Word of God. Why was Nebuchadnezzar so mad at Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Because he was wrong. Why would you heat a furnace? Some people believe that it was probably around 1,800 to 2,400 degrees hot. If you wanted to kill somebody, why'd you need to heat it seven times more than that? 1,800 degrees pretty much will do the job. He was mad. Why did he get so mad so quickly? Because he knew it was wrong. Why, when Jonathan says, "Daddy, what's wrong?" Look at verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, "Thou son of the perverse and rebellious woman." We've talked about that, right? Probably not a great marriage here. And if it was, it's not now. "Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" There's a javelin. Okay, I think he's serious about trying to kill David because he just tried to kill me. You know what Saul's saying? "Look, pal, if you had any common sense in your head at all, you would know that David's your rival. And until he dies, you're not ever going to be established as the king here." And Jonathan could say, "You don't understand, Daddy. God doesn't want me king. He wants David king. And he's really not done anything to deserve death. All he's done is be God's anointed." Now you say, is all that in the text here? That's pretty much what Jonathan's saying. Number three, the protection of friendship. The protection of friendship. And the principle is simply this: friends must protect each other. We're not going to go through the whole story in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 42. It's part of what we just read, but it's the whole scenario where David and Jonathan set up this thing where they're going to shoot the arrows beyond. How many boys and girls were in VBS this year? Companion Canyon, you remember that? Do you remember the story where they shot the arrows? Okay, how many of you remember that story? All right, this is the story they're talking about. This is 1 Samuel chapter number 20. That whole story is Jonathan trying to protect his friend David. And it ends up getting him almost killed. Look at chapter 19, verses 2 and following. Verse 1 will give us the context. "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. And Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself." So early on, Jonathan is saying, "Hey, there's been an execution order on you. You need to get out of here. And I will go and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, and I will tell thee." So from the very beginning, Jonathan is communing with his dad. And actually, in this text, he actually gets his dad to stop the execution order. "All right, don't kill David. You're right, I was wrong." And David comes, and it's not long before the relationship sours again. Friendship ought to be that which protects each other. Sometimes that means we have to say the hard things. Jonathan had to say that sometimes to his dad. I don't know what he said to David in the wood, but he encouraged him in the Lord. Maybe he had to say, "Hey, David, whoa, what are you doing? You discouraged? I know you're hiding in the woods, but you're God's anointed. Do you think God anointed you to let you die in the woods? You think you're going to die in a cave, David? No. God anointed you because you're going to be king." I don't know that a conversation happened like that, but you can see Jonathan saying something like that. The protection of friendship. But number four, let's look at the pledge of friendship. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, right before Jonathan strips himself of his armament and his coat and everything, it says, verse 3, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Look at chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 18. That short text where Jonathan is interacting with David again. Verse 18. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood. And Jonathan went to his house. So the principle is friends make commitments to each other. Friends make commitments to each other. David, I'm making a commitment to you. It doesn't matter what happens. We're going to forever protect each other. You may think, well, this commitment, this covenant that Jonathan made with David never came to fruition. Nothing ever came out of it. You'd be wrong. Jonathan never reaped the benefits of this covenant. Somebody else did. And you can come back next week and find out about that. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you a biblical friend? Are you a biblical friend? Are some of these things a part of your friendships? Do you have a biblical friend? Someone that's going to encourage you in the Lord? Someone that you know you can go to, and when you text them or when you Facebook message them or when you call them or when you see them, they're going to encourage you in the Lord. You're just going to walk away going, "Ah, man, I love that." I have a number of those kind of friends. Man, I love to just sit down with them, walk away from it. The problems didn't change. The perspective did, though, because of a friend. I love those kind of people. If you want a biblical friend, what does the Bible tell us you must do? That's right, you must be a biblical friend. If you want a friend, you got to be friendly. That's what the Word of God says. Jonathan and David, credible friendship. Lord, help us to be these kind of friends. Lord, where we encourage each other. I don't know if Jonathan and David didn't have great character before they ever met each other. I'm sure they did based upon their lives, but boy, they sure sharpened each other. Man, help me to be that kind of friend to people. Help our church people to be that kind of friend. May boys and girls and teenagers here choose that kind of friend. Thank you for the example of Jonathan and David. We love you. In Christ's name we pray.